You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with Todd Zielecki, our MLB.com Phillies reporter. Pitchers and catchers have reported to Clearwater. In fact, they're working out today, Tuesday, as we record this podcast. We will get into the bullpen a little bit. That's another spot we have to hit as we break down this roster a bit, Todd. But before we get to that, I know Andy McPhail spoke before spring training officially got kicked off as well, and seems like he's very pleased at the direction of this franchise right now.
Yeah, he is. He sees a lot of potential with a lot of these young players at the big league level and at the minor league level. And I think he also very much likes the fact that the Phillies, they added some veterans this offseason, but they added veterans on one-year deals, which kind of sets them up nicely for future off seasons, and you know, maybe even earlier than that if a team is looking to ditch somebody at the trade deadline. You know, Phillies, because their minor league system is so deep, they could actually maybe add up some salary that way. So overall, you know, he likes the direction of his team, although he acknowledges that, you know, he needs to see more progress. You know, he needs to see more of these minor league prospects, you know, continue to progress and take a step forward. And he put it best yesterday. It's kind of a numbers game, you know. You know, every prospect is not going to pan out. So you just hope that the more prospects you have, it gives you a greater chance of having a few of them pan out. If a few of them pan out, then I think they set themselves up pretty nicely going forward.
You have an article on Phillies.com today about Zach Eflin and the fact that he's actually got healthy knees, which you don't usually have to say about a 22-year-old, but he's just kind of had to deal with this in his life. So what does that mean as far as ceiling for Zach Eflin? If he's been able to get to this point on these unhealthy knees with the chronic pain, how excited is he to kind of look to the future?
He's very excited about it. You know, he had surgery on both his left and right patellar tendons in his knees last year, you know, August and September last year. And, you know, he basically says that he's had knee problems for the last 10, 12 years. You know, even in the offseason when he wasn't pitching, he said he'd wake up sometimes and his knees would be sore and he'd feel some discomfort there. You know, I asked him today, I said, you know, how much do you think that affected your pitching? He declined to say. He said, I don't want to make any excuses. And I kind of followed up and I said, well, how much, you know, do you have any idea how much you could improve your pitching? And he says, you know, it kind of remains to be seen. But he did say the biggest difference for him is when he's kind of gliding towards the mound, his left foot, left leg is going towards the mound. He says he can really put some weight now on his right leg, his back leg, and which will maybe kind of let him explode the ball a little bit more towards the plate. So, and if that is the case, maybe that means he gets a little bit of an increase in velocity. If not an increase in velocity, maybe it just makes him a little bit more effective in one way or another in terms of his mechanics go. So it's going to be really interesting to see what what Zach Eflin can do on two healthy knees. Because like you said, he's been pretty successful with bad knees. So you wonder what he's going to be successful with good knees.
Amazing, yeah, that a guy goes to the Major League Baseball with bad knees throughout most of his life. It is kind of amazing. All right, let's get into this bullpen a little bit, because I don't know if there's any real roles that are locked down as spring training opens up here, but let's start at the closer and work our way back. A year ago, Todd, it was Genmar Gomez doing that job pretty well for a decent amount of the season. Does he have the inside track on being the closer, or is a guy like Hector Neris going to push him? Is this a competition?
Well, it's interesting that you asked that question, because we just got done talking to Pete Cannon, and he basically offered that Genmar Gomez right now is his closer. He sees him as the best guy for the job, and which is a change in that in December at the winter meetings, he basically said we really don't have a clear-cut guy, a clear-cut closer, so there could be a competition in spring training, which I personally agree with, because I think Hector Neris has the best stuff as a closer. But, you know, Pete is going to give Genmar Gomez every opportunity to close, which I guess I also understand in the sense that he did save 37 games last year. So, you know, he should have an opportunity to see if he can continue in that role. So going into camp as of today, Genmar Gomez is going to be the closer. Although I never rule out anything at this point. If Genmar Gomez really struggles in spring training, or he struggles really poorly the first week of the season, or first 2 weeks of the season, I definitely can see Hector Neris moving into that role.
Yeah, he may be looking over his shoulder a little bit. So if Gomez as of now is the closer. Then you look at that setup, man. Neris is an obvious guy. How about Edubre, if I get that right, Edubre Ramos? Is he a guy that could fight into the late innings?
Yeah, for sure. Both of those guys, Neris, obviously, you know, if you're talking about a guy as a closer, then if he's not going to be a closer, then he certainly qualifies as a setup man. And Ramos, they love. They think, quite frankly, that he has closer stuff. He has closer potential, although he's a lot younger than, I guess, some of the other guys. So for that reason, he's a sixth, seventh, eighth inning candidate. And then, you know, they also signed Joaquin Benoit on a one-year deal, and he's pretty much spent most of his career in the setup role. So at the moment, I don't know who the favorite would be to pitch in the eighth inning if Gomez is the closer. I would say at this time it would probably be Benoit or Neris, with the other guy then slotting down in that seventh inning role. But really, if we get down to it, they're in a much better situation than they were last year, because last year they had all these non-roster invitees in camp, and you know, they went into the season not knowing who was going to close. It was going to be David Hernandez. That didn't go well. The next thing you know, they go with Genmar Gomez, who last year at this time was a six-inning middle reliever, and they just had no options. So at least going into this season, they have three or four guys that, you know, in a pinch could close for this team.
Then when you look out how the rest of that bullpen goes, you have a Pat Neshek, you have a Joely Rodriguez. How does the rest of the bullpen, I guess, shape up in your best estimation? Because obviously spring training will tell a lot of this. But is there a guy to get lefties also?
Yeah, you know, the four righties we mentioned, obviously Gomez, Neris, Ramos, and Benoit are locks. Pat Neshek is a lock. They acquired him in a trade with the Astros. He's going to fit in somewhere. So those are five guys that, honestly, right now, if everybody is healthy, I would take it to the bank that those guys on the opening day roster. I really think that those guys are safe bets. Now you have two spots left over and no lefties yet. So lefty-wise, I think there's three options. Two of them are on the 40-man. Joely Rodriguez, who you mentioned. Adam Morgan, who started last season for the Phillies, moved into the bullpen. I think he has a shot to make the team as a bullpen, as a reliever in the bullpen, possibly as a long man. And then Sean Burnett, who's a non-roster invitee, had a lot of success in his career, but recently he's been, you know, he's recovering from two Tommy John surgeries. If he can pitch effectively in camp, I could very much see him making the team as another left-handed option. So those three guys, you know, again, early, very, very early, but those three guys, because they're lefty and because they don't have no other lefties in the pen, to me have a really good shot at making this bullpen.
Then you think of other names that could kind of battle to get onto that roster. And there's intriguing names there, like Mark Appel, Dallaire Hinojosa. You know, what's the rest of the competition, I guess, like as far as depth of this bullpen?
Yeah, you know, Hinojosa is interesting. Last year at this time, I was saying that I could see him closing for this team, and he actually was a legitimate candidate to close, and then he got hurt early last season and never made it back to the big league. So a strong camp by Hinojosa could, you know, maybe create an interesting conversation. Luis Garcia throws hard, but for whatever reason, he just hasn't been able to put it together at the big league level on a consistent basis. So guys like that, I think, you know, with a very strong showing this spring, could maybe change some minds. So, but overall, their depth is so much better than it was last year. I'm not saying they're going to go out and light the world on fire, but I do remember that first week of the season. The Phillies were in Cincinnati. I think they blew their first two games. The bullpen blew the first two games of the season. And it was like, who is going to get anybody out after the seventh inning? I mean, it really looked bleak at one point. And then finally, some of these guys, you know, became a little bit more comfortable and enjoyed some success. But I don't think they're going to be in that situation this year, the first week of the season, because the depth is so much better.
And that can be so demoralizing for a rotation that has some young arms on there that they kind of need to get that lift in the late innings sometimes for their confidence. So how much can a good bullpen just even help that staff as well?
Oh, huge. You know, I remember years ago I was talking with Dallas Green, who was the manager of the 80 Phillies team, and this is right after the Phillies got Billy Wagner. from the Astros in spring training of 2004, and he said, for his money, he said the closer can be one of the most important jobs in the team, despite the fact that they only pitch an inning. He said it is just a killer for a team, night in and night out, to go out there and watch your bullpen blow a lead, you know, especially on a team like this that's going to really have to fight for runs. And for a young pitching staff, a young starting rotation, at least in those three of those five spots, to not be able to hold on a lead late can be crippling. And you want these guys to enjoy some success so they learn how to win, they learn how to handle success. And if you don't have a bullpen that can do that, that really kind of sets you back. So, it's going to be big for them to be able to hold this lead, because I've seen it happen before many times where a closer is struggling and the rest of the team is kind of looking around like, what can we do to win the ball game? This is killing us.
Good stuff, Todd, and it's going to be reassuring for sure to see some talented arms coming out of that bullpen throughout 2017. We will continue throughout the spring with the podcast to get you ready for the 2017 season. For Todd Zalecki, I'm Tim McMaster. Thanks for tuning in to MLB.com Extras, our Phillies edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.